If you've experienced a lot of trauma in your life, you might be wondering, what do I do with that? How do I live a good life like I see out in the world? How can I claim that for myself? And today's guest, Elizabeth Gagnon, has experienced extreme abuse as a child and young teenager. And she's here to share with you that trauma is a spiritual journey. And now she's out in the world making positive change with her books and her podcast. So join us to find out more about her perspective.
Soul Nectar Show. The Soul Nectar Show. You're invited, delighted to discover who you are. Anything is possible if you believe. So join us on this beautiful journey.
Soul Nectar Show.
Soul Nectar Show.
Well, hello and welcome to another episode of Soul Nectar Show, that show where we talk about all things essence, where we gather around the campfire and we share our stories of connection to that which is greater than us, the big mystery beyond the veil, and those synchronistic moments that lead us towards a deeper understanding of ourselves in this human experience. I'm your host, Carrie Hummingbird, and I love having these conversations week after week and to bring them to you and to go deeper into understanding our humanity. And at this time on the planet, there's so much trauma happening. There's so much to grieve, so much to really want to be an advocacy for a different way of being on the planet. And yet sometimes we don't have the control to change the way things are going. And we can't necessarily insert ourselves in the process and prevent it from happening. And so what do we do then? What do we do when trauma strikes? What do we do when we are experiencing abuse ourselves or find ourselves witnessing abuse happening? What is the way that we can transmute that energy and realize trauma as part of a spiritual journey rather than in sort of resistance to it being present in our lives and in the world today? And so today's guest is going to help us to unpack that conversation. Elizabeth Gagnon is here with us. She's a mentor and advocate for mental health, abuse, grief, and peace for humanity. She is a survivor of extreme abuse, and she works to make changes in the world with her best-selling books and her podcast, which is called Tea Time with Miss Liz, Making a Difference One Cup at a Time. And so, Elizabeth, Liz, what do you prefer to be called?
Yep. A lot of people call me Miss Liz or Liz, Elizabeth, whatever you're comfortable calling me, Carrie. I'm good.
Okay. Well, welcome to the show, Liz. And so tell us, what is your story of trauma and how did you come to realize that trauma is a spiritual journey?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me here. I appreciate it. My journey started at the age of 4. I was given a good tea and a bad tea, and I knew that my tea would be full of trauma and full of a journey, a spiritual walk. As you mentioned before, we went live, is that we look at trauma as a heavy thing, right? We look at it as, oh my goodness, I can't get out of here. I'm always going to be stuck here. Kind of that blame and pity, right? When you're on a healing journey and a spiritual journey, you look at your trauma as stepping stones. You look at it as, I got over this. I overcame this. This did not defeat me. So we got to start taking words and start changing them, looking at them a different way, taking a different perspective, turning the dark into the light. Understanding that we all can make a difference when we look within ourselves and ask ourselves, do we want to stay this way? Do we want to stay in the darkness or do we want to go to the light? And we do need the both. We need the balance, right? We need the yin and the yang. We need both in order to survive. So yeah, so at the age of 4, I was given a good tea and a bad tea. And the good tea was my Oma that gave me the tea of life, which I serve today with the podcast. The bad tea, which I was given at the age of 4, was also child abuse, sexual abuse that happened for 9 years. And my offender was charged and prosecuted, but he was released and reoffended, and I became pregnant. And I had a stillborn daughter at the age of 14. And my story is a very heavy story, Carrie, where I took my heaviness and the tea that my Oma gave me at the age of 4 showed me that I could make it. I had overcome these things. She knew I was going to have a hard life, right? And she made me look at life differently. She made me look at my pain as stones of You're going to get through this. You have the strength within you, this inner child, this inner little girl. And that's where Miss Liz comes from. It's from my Oma, because my Oma called me Miss Liz. A lot of people think it's this stage name for the podcast, but it's not. I was given it at the age of 4. And I just, out of respect for my Oma, I carry that name, right? And I carried the lady who gave it all to me. She gave me the tea time. She gave me the name. She gave me the stepping stones of where to go today. And that's why I say we have to take our trauma and we have to turn it into the lightness, right? We have to look at it and say, you know, why was it given to us? Why wasn't it given to somebody else? It's not because we're bad people. It's not because we asked for it. It's because that's meant to be our divine story, our destiny story of survival. I often ask as a little girl, Carrie, why weren't my siblings abused? Why was it only me? Why was I target? Was there a darkness around me? Was there, you know, like a label? I asked all these questions growing up. And as I got older, I realized that it was my story to be told. I knew I would survive it. Was it going to be easy? No. Growing up, my childhood was very hard. But then I also got sold on my wedding day from my father to my ex-husband, which became another form of abuse, domestic violence. And it was just abuse after abuse after abuse. And there's this trauma after trauma after trauma. And that's why I say trauma, I look at it as stepping stones, because without my trauma, I wouldn't have the story to share it with anyone today. I wouldn't have that tea to give it to everybody, to teach educational awareness, to teach that the past is educating me in the present, to be aware for the future that I'm not going to be what they want me to be. I'm not going to be that broken victim, sad, oh, this happened to me, this happened to me. I can't get on with life. I'm going to use what they did to me as a guiding light to move forward, to understand that we can get through these things when we look at things differently, when we start looking at tea differently. And I speak a lot about tea and humanity and peace, because when you look at tea, it's peaceful, right? It's calming. It brings you to a moment of relaxation. That's what peace and humanity is about, the relaxation and the community and the connection. We're not doing that enough in today's world. And I believe that the world needs more tea. It needs more connection. It needs more humanity. It needs more of that inner work. We always say, oh, well, we can't do that because of this, and we can't do that because of that. We're putting all these can'ts, instead of saying can, try, you know, take that little apostrophe. And instead of saying can't, say can, try, take that T. See, we always go back to the T. Now, when I say T, I'm saying the letter T now. I'm not saying the beverage T. And that's what I serve to the world. And that's how I believe that we really can make a difference when we start looking at our trauma as a T and looking at it as transparency, example, and attitude, the attention, the affection that we give ourselves. Start using the words, right? Start connecting and start opening up about who we really are and where we come from. And, you know, life is stressful at times, but we just got to push through it. And we just got to say, why is this happening, right? Is there a divine reason for all of these issues in life, right? So we just got to move forward and we got to just take a deep breath and just push through. So, and I just like connecting with people like yourself.
Yeah, it's beautiful that you have transformed the experiences of trauma that you've had into a purpose, you know, into a purpose of creating peace in the world. It's really beautiful. And you said that you were looking to understand the why, you know, the why did I experience this? What did you arrive at? Is it an ongoing inquiry, or have you arrived at a sort of feeling sense of why that happened for you?
I think it's a question we ask ourselves every day, right? It doesn't matter where we are in our healing stages, because healing is a life journey. If you live something, in 30 days, you're not fixed, you're not healed. So it's a life transformation. We have to really look within ourselves to understand, why are we going through these things? Why does it keep repeating? What in myself do I have to change? Maybe I'm being directed to this story over and over and over again because I'm not changing something within myself. I'm not giving myself enough courage and knowing that I don't deserve this. I can look for better. I can do different. And that's what I like to do, is every day I ask myself, why? Why are we taking this journey? Why am I going to meet this person? Why do I have to interview this person? Because sometimes when I do my podcast, Carrie, people are directed to me. And I'm just like, but that's not me. What is the universe doing with me right now? So, you know, there's that why question every single day. And I ask myself, why now do I have a voice when then I didn't? Mm-hmm. Why 30 years later can I speak on this? And 30 years ago, I couldn't, you know?
Yeah, so what did you realize about, like, how did, because for me, that's a conversation of safety, like the safety to speak. Yeah. And so you obviously came up in unsafe conditions. So how did you create that safety for yourself to now speak globally?
I don't think my safety will ever be there, to be honest, Carrie. I just got to a point where I'm just tired of running. I'm just tired of fighting. I'm just tired. If you're going to come and get me, you're going to come and get me. If it's my day that the world ends, it's my day that the world ends. I have to have a life. I have to be able to move forward. If I put myself in fear forever, I'm never going to have a life to enjoy. I'm never going to have moments where I can say, you know what, I can do this. When I share my stories and books and that, I'm fearful. I'm like, okay, who's coming? What's going to happen by me sharing this? You know, does it reopen these doors? Does it reopen this person and that person? You know, so writing your personal stories and books is re-traumatizing yourself, but it's also re-showing you that the growth that you've made by writing your own words and saying, look, I was there 10 years ago. Look where I am now. And it is a safety thing. I think living with abuse and trauma, you never feel safe. No matter how much healing you do, you're always on guard for the rest of your life. But you can be on guard in a different way. It's like standing at a castle and you're like this, right? Where I'm now, I'm at the castle and I'm like a little more lighter. You know what I mean? Like this is tight and this is, oh, okay. I can breathe a little. But I think I'm always going to be on guard from what I've overcome and what I do live with each and every day as well.
Yeah, for me, it's kind of like the conversation of being aware, like just maintaining awareness and discernment with people, you know, and I feel like those experiences can help give you an awareness of the qualities of a person that you might want to avoid, right?
Yeah.
And without judging, you know, but just like that's not congruent with what I want in my life now. And then the qualities of a person that you want to attract. And like you said, I love how you talked about what can I change within myself that can change the outer reality for me to whatever pattern it is inside me that's attracting this, right? Because I've said this a lot because that was my experience as well. It's like I can shift my reality by changing myself. And I also experienced some early childhood abuse, nothing like what you've experienced, but enough that I have a taste of what, you know, what you're talking about. And I would say that changing myself has changed my experience. So some people, they'll get really upset because they say, oh, you're like victim shaming, that, you know, it's the victim called it all to themselves and it's all their fault. And it's like, well, and that's not what I'm saying, actually. I'm saying that I have this different awareness that there's like soul contracts, like there's soul contracts between us. And we're all here having certain experiences because we chose to have those experiences. And I've had some students get really upset with me for saying that too, because they say, why would anybody choose to be raped? Or why would anybody choose these things? And what I kind of said was like, well, you know, it's a different way of looking at it than that it happened to me. And so whether or not it's true that I, as a soul, chose to have these experiences, I find more empowerment feeling that that is a truer story for me. That gives me a feeling like I chose this at some level, I can be empowered and I can change it then. Is that kind of how you also feel about claiming that responsibility at a higher level? Like I must have chosen this curriculum or I'm learning from it somehow?
I think it's the wording, right, Carrie? Because a lot of people that haven't gone through it, they feel that we want to stay in this victim mode, right? When we say certain ways, when we say, you know what, I wouldn't change my story. A lot of people are like, oh, so you would want that to happen to you? And that's not what we're saying. We're saying that without this happening to us, we wouldn't be who we are today. We wouldn't be that voice and that advocate today had it not been for that. We don't choose to be abused. We don't choose to be a victim. We're choosing to be a voice. We're choosing to make the difference. And I think somebody who hasn't experienced it will look at it as, oh, well, you wanted it. You asked for it. That's not what we're saying. We're saying that without it happening to us, we would not be who we are today. And I think that's where a lot of people misunderstand when we say we wouldn't change our stories. They think that we want to be a victim. We're not a victim. We're survivors. We're warriors. We are the voice of change. We all have to be proud of our stories. We all have stories that no one knows about. There are people that hide stuff for years, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. And then they finally say, you know what? I have a voice today. My grandmother was 97. She passed away in November. And Carrie, she lived with abuse and never told anybody until she was 85 years old.
Wow. And we're changing that, you know, we're changing that, Liz. Like, we're not doing that anymore. That's one thing that the older generation, like my mother's generation, was so shocked by, that I was going to publish a book about my experiences. And she's like, well, my generation doesn't air their dirty laundry. They don't talk about it.
And, right? It's right? Under the cover. Leave it there.
And I said, well, if we don't talk about it, we don't all realize it's happening. And when we talk about it, we make it okay to talk about it. And when you talk about it, there's no more secrets. And when there's no more secrets, there's healing. Right. And then there's also like accountability too. So if we keep it a secret, there's no accountability.
Well, and it also breaks the generational cycle, because our grandmothers and our great grandmothers and our grandmothers before that, they were all told to be silent, right? If they spoke, they were burnt at the stake. They were witches. They were this, you know, anybody that brought shame or a change or a voice from females, from ancestries years and centuries ago, they were attacked, they were taken out, they were removed. And I got that a lot from my Oma that gave me the tea. She always told me, speak your truth, girl. No matter how shaky your voice is, speak your truth. Because the truth cannot be forgotten. The truth is there. It's in destiny. It's in us. It's around us. And we really just have to look at things as being that different, breaking that chain, cutting that chain, and being that voice that says, you know what? Mom, I get that back in your days, this is how it was. But this is now a new time. This is a new start. Your voice matters. Speak your truth now, Mom.
Yeah, it's funny because she's working on her book now, which is so exciting.
Exactly, right? Because you gave her the example. You gave her the courage to have that voice, Carrie. And that's what I mean. By us not bringing our voices to the table and not sharing all of the dirty laundry and everything, her voice would never be heard. Her story would never be told. And this is where students and community members and I have to understand that sometimes the dirty laundry needs to come out in order to make clean laundry. You know what I mean? You need the dark. You need the light. You need to know the truth. And no matter if it takes 50 years or 100 years, the truth is going to always come out.
And it must have been like really interesting for you too, like with your siblings not having that experience, but you mentioned that they didn't have that experience, but you did. And you wondered if there was something about you. And, you know, sometimes with the trauma, it's like, yeah, you feel like you just got a target on you or something like that. And you take it personally as if there's something wrong with you, right? And that, you know, that you deserve it or you're unworthy or whatever. We can make a lot of stories about ourselves, right? And I think that's back to what people are saying, like they don't like the victim shaming idea. But what we're saying is not that. We're saying that we're actually owning it, like as a soul. Yep. Like that's a very empowered space. Yeah. It's a very empowered space to be in, right? To be like, I am a soul in a body having a human experience. And I am not the human experience. I am experiencing it, but that's not who I am. Who I am is well beyond that. Did you come to that realization when you were in your journey?
I did. I think the first time I had realization that I was going to be different, that I was always going to be this target in the family. I started writing at the age of 9. And I said, my words will be heard one day through my voice or through my writing. And I started writing at the age of 9, and I just started writing poetry and how it felt, how I was always going to this different land. For the longest time, Carrie, I used to tell people the movie Alice in Wonderland. I honestly thought that movie was made about me. And I was like, but my name's not Alice. Why did they keep calling me Alice? Right? Because I seen the first Alice in Wonderland, I think it was in 1979. The first one came out, but I think I seen it in 84 because I was born in 74. So and I seen this movie and I kept saying to my grandma, because I was very close to my elders, not close to my parents, but to my elders I were. They guarded me a lot. They knew a lot, right? And I used to say to them, well, grandma, how come they're calling me Alice? that's not my name. Like, my name is Liz. Why is this show calling me Alice? And you're like, what are you talking about, little one? And I'd be like, well, that's me there. And they're like, no, this is a movie, sweetheart. I said, but that's what I do, Grandma. That's what I do when they hurt me. I go into this land. I go into the hole and I play and I have people and I have friends and I have my tea party. And I would disassociate. As I got older, I understood all the different things that was happening to me. But as a little girl, I honestly thought Alice in Wonderland was me. And I was just like, how can they know that I'm going there? How did they know that? And then there would be certain things. I'd be like, I didn't do that. Am I going to do that next? Like,
kind of strange.
Do I eat the cookie? Do I not drink the cookie? Like, you know, like, so there was a lot. Alice in Wonderland actually saved my life. And that's what I do when I write today, is I just play with my writing and I play with the words as they flow. And I use them as a lightness, right? And like with my podcast, it's words. All my guests get asked, what is your tea? Like you can see in the back there. Because we don't share words. We don't speak words. You know, we're taught words in school, but we don't share them. We don't express ourselves. So when I ask people how to get over things, what is your tea? What is your purpose? Why do you do it? But it makes them think, right? And as soon as they hear the word tea time, they think they're getting a beverage. They think they're getting a cup. No, you're getting the cup within yourself. You're giving me you. You're sharing you. So I've had like tea that was given to me by one of my guests. She was a mother who had 10 kids and one of her sons passed away from an accident. And I asked her what her tea was. And she said to me, through every afternoon, and then looked at me and said, does that make sense? And I said, is that your story? And she said, yes. And I said, now, do you want to explain why you gave me through every afternoon? And she said, well, through this process of me losing my son, every afternoon I grieve him and I take that moment and I light a candle and I have that moment with him and I speak to him. And I said, then that's your tea. That's your story. It doesn't need to make sense to anybody else. Just like our stories, Carrie, a lot of people will say, well, oh, that didn't happen. Oh, you're over-exaggerating. Oh, get over that. And that was our story. That's what happened. So we're going to speak it. We're going to speak the truth. And using words, we can actually save lives. Mm-hmm. You know, if you go into a school and you ask a student, what is your tea? And I want you to do this, Carrie, if you're working with students, ask them, what is your tea? You're going to get weird looks and all of that. But ask them and get them to give you three words that start with the letter T-E-A and tell them that it doesn't need to make sense to anybody in the room. It has to make sense to them. It has to give them their story. Their story could be transformation, empowerment, and action. Okay, they transform from something. What did they transform from? Empowerment. What they want to empower. They want to lead. They want to be a leader. Maybe they want to be the leader of the class. They want to be a leader of the group. And an action, taking a step in the future, being that leader, being maybe that chain breaker like me and you, being that voice for others in the family, you know, because there might be a cousin that's watching, there might be an aunt or uncle who's watching that's being inspired by us and saying, holy cow, those girls, they got a voice now. I can do this. I can share too. And it opens up a conversation. And then you have just a room of people that are speaking on tea that are words that are impacting lives. And you're saying, wow, three words, look what this has done. And just look at the room. And that's what I do is every time I have an interview, I look at my guests and I say, wow, that was an incredible tea. You know, and that's what I serve is I serve a different type of tea. I just make people look within themselves. For me, my tea changes every day, but my main tea is teaching educational awareness. But I have different teas. I have trauma. I have examples. I have affection. So when I give different words, it's because that's what I'm feeling in that moment. It's just like when you go make a potted tea, you might want a berry tea, you might want a green tea, you might want a black tea. That's how life is. We have different teas, different blends, different flavors at different times. And we just need to bring that back, use our trauma as stepping stones to better ourselves and to better humanity for within ourselves, because humanity starts with us. When we start fixing ourselves and we start healing ourselves, we start healing the world. I think everyone has it backwards. They all think it's, oh, well, you got to do this. You got to take the first step. You got it. We're always pointing these fingers, right? You. Oh, it's not getting done because you didn't do that. It's not getting done because you didn't do that. How about we look at ourselves and start pointing within ourselves and saying, oh, it's me that has to take that step.
Mm.
You know,
that reminds me of that song by Michael Jackson, Man in the Mirror, you know? Yeah, I got to make that change. And we're at the time of change, right? So this is the time. This is the best. Everything is supporting everybody here to make change. The whole world is in change. It's in flux. It's opening up. It's dismantling. It's calling for us to say, okay, yes, move me where I need to be. Help me see. And all you have to do is be willing at this point. It's really, it's there for the taking, you know, like really receive and really say yes, and you'll be guided. I mean, just like immediately to the next thing that you need to look at. The awareness is really big and powerful and in motion, and it's helping all of us right now. So if you just say yes to it, it'll guide you. It'll get you where you need to go.
Right. And yes, it's just three little letters too, right?
Yeah. It's a pretty easy word.
It's simple. Keep it simple. This is what I tell everybody. I tell my children this all the time. Just keep it simple. When you keep it simple, life gets a little easier. It gets a little lighter. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have your struggles, because you're going to have your struggles. That's life. Everyone's going to have struggles. It's how we overcome them. It's the steps that we take. It's the steps that we look at. And I love that you said Heal the World by Michael Jackson, because a lot of people need to hear that song, but they need to really close their eyes and listen to that song, because he spoke a lot of truth in that song. It's within us, the mirror within us. When something is bothering us and somebody triggers us and somebody bothers us, look within ourselves. Why is it bothering us? Is it something that we don't want to see? Is it something that has harmed us? Was it a trait that one of our abusers had? You know, there's a reason why people rub us a different way. We're not meant to like everybody. We're meant to like ourselves. And we're talking about self. We're talking about you. I can fix you. I can fix you. How about you fix yourself? How about we all start fixing ourselves? And then you're going to see this light in the world come together and say, wow, it started with me. And the T. Go back to the T, guys. Because if you don't go to the T, we're not going to get humanity.
Yeah, it's really time. It's time for change. It's time for tea, as you said, and time for peace and time for inner understanding and alignment with that truth. So beautiful. And now I'm going to link people to your podcast, Tea Time with Miss Liz. And I know you have some books that you wrote. Is there anything in particular that you'd like people to check out?
People can check out the tea books, because once they get the tea books, they're going to be like, whoa, this woman's really strange. This woman's really different. Because you can see the teas in the back. The tea books are back there on the shelf. But you see a tea and you think, oh, it's going to be recipes. It's going to be tea time, tea this, tea cookies and all that. And there's a little bit of that in there, but there's fun facts in there. There's travel in there. But I'm using words and I'm taking you through an Alice in Wonderland story. But I had to get your attention to the tea first. You had to come and sit and have the tea. And each book has a different cover. Because book one is about my child abuse. It's teaching myself that all of the things I went through, Carrie, I overcame through the T. It started with the T and it ends with the T. The E is the education, the present, the experiences, the equipment, the excuses, because we use so many excuses when we're healing. Oh, well, I can do that later, right? Or it's not a good time for me right now. Or I'll do that next week, not today. Like, you know, we make these excuses. So in the ebook, it's all E words that I use. And I give you some little assignments in there, some self-help. I give you some fun facts. I give you Miss Liz's designs created by myself. So all the images in the books are designed by myself. And it just shows that it's different. It doesn't need to be professional all the time. It doesn't need to be perfection. It's just trying. Remember that can't, take the can and try. And that's all I did was try. I wanted to write my own books. After writing in so many different anthologies, I've written in 8 other anthologies. I wanted to see if I could do it. And I did it. Does it need to be number one bestseller? No. Does it need to be in everyone's hands? No. Because it's not meant to be in everyone's hands. And the A is the awareness. And the A is the awareness of affection, attention, attitude, action. Those are words that are used in the book. And it just shows you what Miss Liz has done through the words of TEA. And it takes you on a different flow. So when you pick up my books, it's not like recipes and all of that. There are recipes in there. You have recipes for each book. you have a recipe of a tea. And what I've done is I've taken you on a trip as well, because that's what it was for Alice in Wonderland, right? She was going through the different, she was traveling. So I wanted to travel. So in book one, I take you to Turkey. So I give you a Turkish tea. In book two, it's England, and I give you an English breakfast tea. And in book three, it's Australia, and I give you a Billy tea, because they make tea out of the gum tree, the eucalyptus tree, which I found really interesting. So there's a lot of educational facts as well in the book. And then I give you some fun facts that is not even related to tea, because that's just how Miss Liz likes to play. I just like to take you into the different lands, right? Like, it's like Alice in Wonderland. You had a tea party, then you met the caterpillar, then you went to Queen of Hearts. You went all over the place, because it was just a jungle, right? It was just different ways of going. So when you pick up my book, you're going to say, whoa, where do I go with this? What do I do with this? You take time for tea. That's all you do, is take time. And time is in the tea book. And it's not for everybody. So I really suggest people just check it out. And if you do get a copy of the books, leave a review. Give me feedback so I know if you liked it, if you didn't like it. Because I'm not going to be hurt if you didn't like it. Because it was just Miss Liz trying. Yeah, I wasn't going for a number one bestseller. I was going for trying. And I think that's what we need to start really teaching children today, in today's world. Just try. If you don't get number one, you don't get a ribbon, you don't get an award, big deal. You tried. You're that person that wrote that book over that person that says, I'm going to write a book. But they never write the book. You wrote the book. So be proud of that. And that's the message that I give with my book. If they go to number one, that's a bonus, but that's not what it's for. It's to make you take the time to serve your tea and just get to know you. And a tea is not about me healing you. It's you got to heal yourself. You have to go within the book. You have to do the exercises. I can't do them for you. I can't serve your tea. I can't be the person to give the tea until you understand your tea. And that's what tea time is all about, right? You have to understand why you do what you do. Why do you write books? Why do you create organizations? Why do you work at this 9-to-5 job? And there's nothing wrong with working a 9-to-5 job. Maybe that's what you're passionate about. Maybe you enjoy the community. If you're a waitress and you enjoy the customers, there's nothing wrong with that. That's your success story. Be proud of it. We have to really just be that example of different and being okay with who we are. So if anybody would like to check out the tea books, you can. If you'd like to check out any of the anthologies, you can check out my Amazon author central page. The books that I'm in are listed there. Some are listed on my website as well, Carrie, at www.missliz'steatime.com. And if you'd like to collaborate with Miss Liz, and when I mean collaborate, I don't mean you got to sign a contract. You just got to collaborate and be yourself. We'll grow together. We'll guide together and we'll spill together and we'll just make a big old mess of tea and make a difference.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing your light and your story and your journey, and really lovely. I'll put links to all of that in the show notes. And we're going to give kisses if you want to join us. My thing is we like to give little Reiki kisses to everybody at the end. So here they come, everybody. We love you. Thank you so much for listening and sharing. And here come your kisses. Love you all.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being here. And you guys have a great week. We'll see you next time on Soul Nectar Show. Bye for now.
If you found even one gold nugget in this episode of Soul Nectar Show, will you do us a favor? Will you subscribe, like, and share this episode? Maybe even write a comment and let us know what you thought about it. We really, really want to engage with you at a much deeper level. Let's be part of community together. Have a great week, everyone. Bye for now. To dive in deeper to nourishing conversation, visit soulnectar.show.
Soul Nectar Show. Awaken the Soul Nectar Show. Take a sip from the drip of nectar from the source of who you are. Soul Nectar Show. Yeah. Yeah.